Hi, everybody. Welcome to Hidden Gems Podcast. This is a show where we like to talk about a streaming service and some of the hidden gems you can find on that service. And I'm really excited about what we're talking about today. I'm film critic Rachel Wagner, and Ryan is here.
Hey, Rachel. It's great to be back with you once again. I think a bit of celebration is in order. Congratulations, Utah's newest theater critic.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Congratulations to you.
Yes. I'm so excited about this. I've been going to tons of shows. Of course, everybody knows that. You've been following me on social media since I became vaccinated. I wanted to help local theater as much as possible. And so I have been doing everything I can. And I have been hired, I guess, as a regular critic for the Utah Theater Bloggers Association. And this is actually, they not only comp your tickets to whatever you're covering, but they actually pay you to write for them. This is so exciting. So, yeah.
So is there like a certain quorum of, like a quorum, but quota of shows that you have to see in a year? Or is just, hey, something's in town, you're going to write for it, right? Or is it just up to you?
I think they have a regular calendar that all of the different writers can look at and request for the theater company will request a review, and then they'll put it on the calendar. And then I think it's mainly first come, first serve. I think for like the bigger named places, there's the more expensive tickets. I think those usually go to the more experienced critics. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see how it all goes. But I'm just excited to be reviewing theater, which is just, I love theater. So this is very exciting. It's my first time ever really being hired by anybody on a regular basis to write.
Well, I'm incredibly happy for you. I mean, that's the dream. And it's something I'm working on with my banana meter stuff. That's as close as I've gotten to actually being hired to write for a certain site. And I'm grateful to be a part of them. I'm hopeful to where it goes. And I'd love to do more as time goes by.
You're doing a great job with that. Well, I know it's a lot of work for sure.
Well, I appreciate you. Thank you. I've been doing my Moon Knight coverage. The finale is this week, actually by the time this goes up, the finale would have already happened. So
I haven't watched episode 5.
It's fantastic. I recommend. I'm so worried about this final episode because like 5 is so good. It's like the finale is just like automatically at a disadvantage. This is actually a pretty big week for the MCU in general. Moon Knight's coming to an end. Doctor Strange is going wide. Like Kevin Feige is, it's a good week for the Feige household. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I think there's no man that's more confident in the world than Kevin Feige, and he's earned it.
He certainly knows what he's doing. I mean, he's been at the forefront of this whole big thing for going on 15 years now, which is crazy to think about that I've been watching these since 2008. It makes me feel a tad old, but here we are.
It makes you feel old. Makes me feel really old. Yeah, no, it's true. It's going to be exciting. I'm going to see the screening tomorrow for Doctor Strange 2, and they're going to have we have to get there an hour early because they're showing the critics the Avatar 2 trailer. So it'll be exciting.
By the time this episode airs, it'll be the day it drops, but stay off of Twitter for at least a couple of days. They're being very irresponsible with the amount of spoilers they've been showing. I've been grateful to have missed like 99% of them. I've had a couple close calls. Actually, before I logged on to this, I was editing the Heartland episode for this week, and I was going to see if you had posted the Zoom link, and the trailer was playing, and it was like something flew. I'm like, scroll, scroll, scroll away, scroll, and I missed it, but it looked like a shield, and it was clearly something to do with Captain America, but nothing super specific. So all of you stay off of social media for at least the day, or like a few hours before you go and see it. I know it may sound hard, but believe me,
or decide that you don't care, because don't complain. You've been warned.
Yeah, pretty much. And well, I care, so I'm just staying away, because I've read that this movie's going to have a lot of callbacks and references, and I don't want like first name bunch of numbers on Twitter to be spoiling it for me.
Yeah. Well, why don't you spoil the audience of what service we're talking about today?
We're going to be talking about Canopy, and this is a service that I think is like a silent killer, because every time I go on here, there's always something I'm like, wow, this is available for free. I mean, with a library card, but this is available for free. Like, how did they manage this? And every time I go back to look at Canopy, I'm afraid that it might be losing a little bit of its like thoughtful entertainment edge just a tad. But I mean, at the same time, I guess you got to have eyeballs on the service. So having some more popular movies on there might not be the worst thing in the world. I guess it makes business sense, but I just hope that they keep their focus on like indie stuff, world stuff, documentaries, like just keep an eye on that. They've actually added a lot of History Channel stuff, like the classic Modern Marvel show, which, not gonna lie, that brought me back to when I was in middle school, and we would watch that, and I was like, wow, that's actually a pretty cool addition. And they've added some Ken Burns stuff on there, like his Jackie Robinson documentary, which I've heard good things about. So Canopy, like I said, it's a sleeper hit.
Yeah. I think you could make an argument. It's the best, not even with the price factor. Like if you were paying $15 a month or whatever it might be, you could still make the argument it's the best streaming service. I mean, the films they have and the variety of films they have is really impressive. I mean, they have new films, they have indie films, they have things like made for TV type films, like from Hallmark or from Lifetime. They have like Academy Award winning films like The Artist and Boyhood, things like that. I mean, I was just really impressed.
Yeah, I'm continually impressed by this thing. Whenever I'm on there, I'm like, wow. I have no idea. Like, they have Parasite still on there. They've got like, they got 8.5 from Truffaut. It's like wow.
Yeah, they have classics. They mm-hmm. have, you know, like I said, new films. It is really good. If you like documentaries, there are tons of documentaries. So it's a really good site. Like I said, free. All you have to do is just have a library card. So there's Hoopla and then Canopy are the two. Maybe we'll have to do Hoopla next. It's been a little while, but they're both great. But I think that Canopy is very underrated.
Yeah, I agree. Well, why don't we dive in, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it. What is your first pick?
So my first pick is something from last year. Something that I really enjoyed a lot more than I thought I would, but has gone under the radar. It's called Dream Horse. This is based on a true story, starred Toni Collette, about a woman who lives in a very, like, very poor place in England. Like, it's a very small town where everybody knows everybody, and they're all united under the fact that they're all very poor, and not the kind of poor, in the words of comedian John Pinette, may he rest in peace, where it's like, oh, we were poor, but we never knew it, but they were certain of how poor they were. So this woman takes a chance and, well, breeds a horse and has plans to turn the horse into a racehorse. And the only person who knows anything about that is Damian Lewis's character, who is trying to go in the straight and narrow after several bouts with gambling debt, after much convincing, he decides to go along with it. This movie's just uplifting. I don't know if I should call it a sports movie. I mean, horse racing, I guess you could call a sport. It's a bit weird, but it's it's still very uplifting. I mean, when it comes to Toni Collette, she's just great in pretty much anything. And it's nice to see her in a somewhat normal role, because, you know, you take a look at movies like Sixth Sense or Hereditary. She almost feels typecast as the mom to the weird kids, if you will. But not this time. She's actually pretty normal here, and she's really good. Damian Lewis, who I know from Sergeant Winter as in Band of Brothers, he's really good here. And I just love these townspeople, how they rally around this horse, and how they go to all of the horse races on this big old charter bus, and they all root on the horse together. It's a beautiful thing. So I highly recommend this. It's a very overlooked gem of last year.
And that's one of my favorite movies of last year. I think it made my top 15 of the year. I loved it. I loved the community spirit of it. I liked that the characters weren't too saccharine. Like, they had some, they weren't perfect, you know, people. They were flawed. And I liked the portrayal of her marriage. Like, it was at first I thought, oh, they're not in a good spot, but they worked on it, and they actually ended up, I really liked her marriage and her husband and that whole story. I just really enjoyed it. It made you want to cheer. It made me happy. So I would say this is definitely a hidden gem from last year.
So what about good you? Choice. What's yours?
All right. Well, my choice is also an inspirational true story, and is called The Good Lie. And I recently rewatched this because the Girl Crush Pod was doing a Reese Witherspoon retrospective in honor of her birthday. And so they're asking different Instagram film people to post their thoughts on different films. And so I ended up with The Good Lie, and I really enjoyed The Good Lie back in 2014. And it's all about Reese Witherspoon's character, who takes in and helps the Lost Boys of Sudan, which were Sudanese refugees who were granted refugee status in the United States. And I was actually also a part of helping the Lost Boys of Sudan when I was in college. One of my teachers, he started it as kind of a group assignment. And then as a teaching assistant for that professor, I worked with them again, and we helped them with a lot of different things. And they were so great, so inspirational, so wonderful, good people. And they really capture that here in this movie. It's not like a white savior story. It's about these refugees and their experience. And she's billed as sort of the lead character, but she's not really like the lead character. It's more of an ensemble type of film. And it's just really good. It's inspiring. It's well-made, well-acted. And I definitely had a special love for it because I'd worked with the Lost Boys. So it was just cool.
Were they nice when you helped them?
Oh yeah. So positive after all they had experienced, because it was rough in those refugee camps, and they made like a long journey from Sudan all the way to Kenya. And they had like people in their group that were like killed by lions and also the civil war, the war violence. And you never met such positive, kind, wonderful people. They were great.
Yeah, it's things like that and the whole Afghanistan thing earlier this year, where I'm not like the super like rah-rah patriotic type, but I'm so grateful that I live in the US.
Oh, because, yeah.
Is like, we have problems here, but nothing compared to what other places experience. And so yeah. Whenever I see something like Lost Boys, like you mentioned, Afghanistan stuff, everything going on in Russia and the Ukraine, like, I'm just grateful that I live here, because yeah, we do have problems. We're not perfect, but it could be a whole lot worse. That's all I'll say.
One of my friends was out with them. This didn't happen. I wasn't there, but they said that that one of the boys had just gotten there. It had only been a couple of days, and there was like a dog or something like that in the park. And he thought it was a lion at first. He was, you know, kind of scared. And I mean, just think how crazy, what a journey they had. If they also thought pumpkin pie was gross.
Got to spray some whipped cream on it and you're golden.
And I'll always remember that I went to see Emperor's New Groove with the Lost Boys of Sudan. They were having a big activity on campus, and we had a little campus movie theater. And when I'd first seen the trailers for Emperor's New Groove, that looks terrible, because they were in a rough spot, you know, kind of when it was the beginning of kind of not a great period for Disney. And so I was just like, a talking llama movie? That sounds terrible. And I don't think I was even going to see it. And, but then I went as part of the activity and helping the Lost Boys. And of course, we all loved it. And we all thought it was hilarious. It was great. So anyway, that's memorable too.
They must have loved Kronk, eh?
Yeah. Yeah. So The Good Light, I think it's a hidden gem. It's a really solid little movie with complex characters. Nobody's like the perfect savior type character. Everybody makes mistakes. I think it's a good one.
Well, so my next choice is, well, ironically enough, another hidden gem that I've found from last year. It's called 4 Good Days. I actually saw this with my mom when theaters were starting to reopen, when I heard like whisperings of some theaters around us might be reopening. We were like, well, we gotta take advantage because we don't know if they might shut down again. So I looked up to something to watch, and 4 Good Days was like, you know what? Let's go with this. And so we ended up seeing it and we both really enjoyed it. And it's a very emotionally affecting movie. It can be very rough at times, but I thought it was very well acted. It tells the story of a mother and a daughter. The daughter is a heroin addict, and there have been several occasions where she's tried to rehab, but she's relapsed. And the movie chronicles like one last chance to like nip this in the bud forever. Mila Kunis is the daughter and Glenn Close is the mother. They have really good chemistry together. They're on screen 95% of the time, and it's all the better for it. There's a really good scene where because Mila Kunis is actually a mom to two kids, and the kids are not really jaded to the fact that she's on drugs, so they still love her, and they're over at the mom's house, and they're all having a meal and all that. The son is playing this video game and they're playing like one of those space shooter type games, and Mila Kunis ends up losing, and the son's like, oh, you're a loser, loser, loser. And it's just like kind of playful taunting, but still taunting. And the movie kind of portrays as like this can't be good. And she finally is like, no, you're a loser. And she plays along with it. It's better than how I described it, but I thought it was pretty well done. It's for a movie about someone trying to get off of drugs. It has a few cliches here and there, but I thought the movie was handled very well. It actually got one Oscar nom, if my memory serves. I can't remember what for
the song.
The song, that's right. But I do recommend this. It's a tough watch on occasion, like I said, but it can be very rewarding.
So I saw this at Sundance, and I have to say I was with it for most of the movie. And then Glenn Close's, I won't spoil it, but Glenn Close's character makes a decision at the end that I thought was completely outside of her character. It didn't make any sense to me. Oh. And it kind of hurt my feeling about the movie.
I know the one you mean. Is it like the very end?
Mm-hmm. There's no way she would do that. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I can understand that. It's a bit out of left field, I think. But I guess I was so emotionally invested, I guess I allowed it. I tend to be a little more lenient with stuff like that, I find, and I don't know if maybe I should or maybe I shouldn't, but I just...
No, I mean, but I think that's the key in this movie, is if that doesn't sort of frustrate you, you know, that if you're able to be like, okay, whatever, then I think that's kind of a key moment in that in this movie.
Yeah, Mila Kunis really does a good job here. I'm afraid that, like, I only know her from stuff like Oz the Great and Powerful, which she was not good in at all. Like, don't get me started on that. A rare blunder.
I mean, I think of her as That 70s Show.
Well, I've never seen that, so okay. Unfortunately, I only know her for stuff like Oz the Great and Powerful and Jupiter Ascending, which is crap. So whenever I see her in something good, I'd be like, it's a good one. We got a live one, y'all.
Yeah. I wish I'd been able to be on your Jupiter Ascending episode. It would have been entertaining.
Yeah, Jacob and I would have loved to have had you.
Yeah, it would have been good. Anyway, so very, very, it'll be interesting to see if anybody watches that movie, what they think, because it's definitely an indie film, so. All right. Well, my next pick is also an indie hidden gem. It's called Personal Shopper. It's from 2016. And it's director Olivier Assayas, I guess, how you say his name. But it's basically, it stars Kristen Stewart, and she plays this woman who is in Paris. And she is a personal shopper for a Paris Hilton-ish celebrity. So she goes all over Paris. She's buying all the stuff for this woman. And her twin brother had passed away. She starts having these kind of seances. She keeps feeling like he is there. And then she starts getting these text messages from a mysterious person. And then there's other events that happen. And I love this movie. I thought it was one of my favorite movies of 2016. I think it has incredible atmosphere. It's very immersive. It's super well made, well acted. It's just, I think, a really, really well written, tight film.
Yeah, I heard this is in the Criterion Collection now.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and
that's true.
And I always felt a bit sorry for Kristen Stewart because of the whole Twilight thing, but it's clear nowadays that that was just like a chapter in her career, and now she's on doing much better things. Like her and Robert Pattinson, both of them, like they were kind of given the stigma, but the stigma has completely worn off. I mean, even before Twilight, I liked her in this little movie called Catch That Kid. It's kind of a silly movie, but I love it. It's got Corbin Bleu in it, who would be Chad in the High School Musical movies, and it's sad that he's not in more stuff anymore. Maybe, I mean, he's got a lot of Disney money, I imagine, so maybe there's that. But I always liked her in Catch That Kid. I've always been a fan of her, but I'm just so glad that she's getting more opportunities in love nowadays with Spencer and just like getting more.
Yeah, and this is the second movie she's done with Olivier Assayas. He's another one called Cloud of Sils Maria. And so I haven't actually seen that one, but I heard it's really good also. And she was in Still Alice with Julianne Moore, and Julianne Moore won an Oscar. And I think that Kristen Stewart was also really good in that movie about a woman getting Alzheimer's, so yeah, this is a really good atmospheric, well-made, creepy, artsy.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
End of movie. So, what about you? What's your next one?
So, my next choice, we're going back to the early 80s for this one. It's a movie called Body Heat. This was directed by Lawrence Kasdan, who probably some of you may know he wrote for the screenplay two little movies called The Empire Strikes Back and Raiders of the Lost Ark. You might have heard of him.
Oh, him?
his 1981 was pretty amazing. But he also directed a few movies here and there, and one of them was Body Heat. It tells the story of a detective played by the late William Hurt, may he rest in peace, who is on the trail of a mysterious case and a mysterious woman, and the two end up having a relationship together. I believe this is called an erotic thriller. I'd have to look up if that's the correct terminology, but I actually am slowly working my way through the movies of 1981, like all the movies that I can find of theirs, and I went into this with like no knowledge, and it was subtly really good. I love how this movie feels. This movie is set in Florida in the summer, and I felt hot watching this, and this was in January. So they captured the feeling of the humidity and the sweat, and like it's 105 in the shade. Like, so shout out to Lawrence Kasdan for capturing that feeling, because he nailed it. William Hurt is really good here. Actually, he's not a detective. He's a lawyer, my bad. And so it's just a tangled web that this movie provides. And just the deeper he gets, the more control he loses. And I think it's all very well handled. From everywhere that I've seen, this movie has gotten praise. I just don't think it's super talked about enough. And I hope that this changes that. Because Lawrence Kasdan is only known for, admittedly, it's a great legacy of writing Empire Strikes Back and writing Raiders. I mean, that's all just fantastic. But he also did some directing work that I think should be praised.
Well, I never heard of this one. So that's a perfect hidden gem. Yeah, very good. Cool. All right. Well, my next choice is I guess, a hard left, as you like to say. This is The Hating Game. This was actually from this year. It came out in January. And this is based on a very popular rom-com novel, The Hating Game, and it's a very accurate depiction of the novel. It's basically about these two people, Lucy Hale and Austin Stowell, and she actually is named Lucy in the movie, and they work together and they hate each other, and they are always fighting and kind of testing each other, and of course they actually like are super attracted to each other, but they have these sort of games that they play with each other and trying to both get this promotion, this big promotion, and yet they're getting more and more attracted to each other. And I thought they had super good chemistry. It was definitely a really fun example of enemies to lovers. And it was a fun rom-com that people should check out if you like the genre.
You know, it's a weird title for a rom-com, The Hating Game. See,
yeah,
it's a bit weird for me.
For enemies to lovers, though. So, yeah, I really enjoyed it. It does have a little bit of spice. I don't know what it's rated. It might be. I don't know if it's rated R or not. It might be, but it's a little spicy. So,
it is rated R, by the way.
Okay.
I pulled it up.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. But they're really obvious scenes that you can skip over if you don't want that kind of content. So I enjoyed it. What about you? What's your next pick?
So my next choice is from 2008. And this was something when I passed it, I'm like, wait, this is on Canopy? And I was like, what? I'll take it. It's called Mad Money. This starred Diane Keaton, Queen Latifah, and Katie Holmes. All of them work for this, for the Federal Reserve. And they're all in various roles, but they all work in the same place where decommissioned dollar bills of very, like US dollar bills of like ones, fives, tens, and all that are gone to be shredded. And so Diane Keaton comes up with the idea, well, if they're going to be shredded anyway, then let's take them off their hands. And so the three come up with a plot to steal a little bit at a time, and they eventually make millions, just like taking like bills that are off the books, if you will. I saw this when I was very young. My mom and I actually saw this together, and I don't know why I like this. I just do. I guess I like this concept. I like all three of these women here. I mean, Diane Keaton, we all know who she is. She's great. Queen Latifah is really good as well. Katie Holmes is good here too. I like how kind of harebrained this idea is. I'm like, this would never fly today. But I guess I just like, I guess you could call this a heist movie. I like heist movies like this. And so I guess I just enjoyed this.
Yeah, I saw this years and years and years ago. When did it come out? 2008. It seems like it was even before that. Wow, 2008. Yeah, I saw this a long time ago. I don't really remember a whole lot about it, though, to be honest. But yeah, great cast. I can't deny. I'm not the biggest Katie Holmes fan, but the rest of the cast I like quite a bit.
Yeah, there's a great sequence in here where they do like their plan for the first time, and the song is really, really good. I can't remember what it's called, but it's like a jazz type number. I think it was nominated for an Oscar, if memory serves. But it's set to this really good music, and it's like, all right, they're starting to get it. And it's like you see the cards, like you see the dominoes fall into place, if you will.
Yeah. Very good. Well, my next pick is a movie I saw at Sundance last year, and it's called I'm Fine, Thanks for Asking, and it's directed by Angelique Molina, and Kelly Kelly. And Kelly Kelly wrote the film and is the lead in the film. This is what Sundance used to all be about, right? And it keeps getting more sort of diluted by Netflix and Amazon and everything. But this is somebody making a movie on a nothing budget about their life experience and then trying to, you know, kind of make it all work on a micro budget. And it's basically, she plays this woman who is a widow. She has a little daughter. They've been kicked out of their housing, but she basically is trying to convince her daughter that they're camping out for fun and that it's not actually where they're living. And so she has to work on trying to, she does all these like Uber Eats and things like that. Does little jobs for people, cuts people's hair, stuff like that. She's trying to do all this stuff so that she can get the down payment for an apartment so that she has a place to stay, and trying to get childcare for her daughter. And it's definitely a slice of life. So if you're like triggered by pandemic stuff, then this isn't for you. But I actually feel like I'm at a spot where I need to kind of start processing all of this with art. And so I felt like this was well done, moving. It captured so much of this whole experience, and I thought it was well done. It's definitely slow. There's not a ton of plot here. So people that, you know, don't like slice of life kind of stories will probably be bothered by that. But yeah, I recommend it. I think it's good. And she is a whiz with these roller skates. She can do anything on roller skates. She's roller skating all over town. So
yeah, when it comes to like COVID being acknowledged and stuff, I didn't really know how to feel about it, but I think one movie that did it pretty well is Kimmy, the HBO Max.
Oh yeah, I've heard that.
Which I actually just reviewed. It's gonna be on my channel now if you all would like to check that out. COVID is very much acknowledged there, and it's also exacerbated because the main character in the movie is agoraphobic, so she didn't like going outside before. Now she doesn't like going outside even more because of that. And I thought that that was handled particularly well. And as far as this movie goes and the subject matter, given that my day job is helping the homeless, I know of many people that are like this. Unfortunately, there are people that fall into old habits of theirs and like are super ungrateful, but the rare times that we do get someone who wants to change, it makes it all worth it.
Yeah, I think you would really appreciate this then. I forgot that. Yeah. So I think you would like it. It was good. I thought it was well done. So what is your last pick?
So my last choice is a movie from 2010, and it is called Edge of Darkness. This was directed by Martin Campbell, who directed Casino Royale and The Mask of Zorro, two movies I absolutely love. It tells the story of a detective played by Mel Gibson, whose daughter is coming back in town and they're going to spend a couple days together. Well, they end up getting attacked and the daughter dies. And in looking to see who did it, well, the detective learns a lot more than he anticipated to, and it involves a lot of stuff. Mel Gibson can be tricky for some, and I completely understand why, but I think he's really good here. This is directed by Martin Campbell. He can be a tad hit or miss. I mean,
yeah, I was going to say, is there a more inconsistent director? He's got this new movie, Memory, out, which I heard is not great.
I mean, he directed Green Lantern, which is terrible. I mean, but he's also directed some good ones too. So it's like,
oh yeah, yeah.
That's high highs, saying. Low lows. And there's like no in between. But this is actually one of the good ones. Uh-huh. Mel Gibson's really good here. Ray Winstone is good here. Danny Houston's good, who plays the villain. So it's definitely stuff you've seen before, but I kind of dig these kind of stories, so I do recommend.
Cool. Well, my last recommendation is, I was like, is it a hidden gem? I feel like it kind of is, but maybe for people like my generation, it's not. I don't know. But we're talking about The Secret of NIMH. This is Don Bluth's masterpiece that he did. It came out in 1982. And it tells the story of Mrs. Brisby, who is forced to move her family, but her son is dying. She is sick, and there's lots of other stuff kind of going along in the story. But what I love so much about it is you have a character that is she's such a reluctant hero. She doesn't want to be a hero. She doesn't want to be brave. She doesn't want to do any of the things that she does, but she has to save her son. That's it. And so I love that about her character. And it's so beautifully animated with great music, and it has humor, but also emotion. It's one of my favorite animated films. Definitely top 20 for sure.
Yeah. The only thing I really know about this is that it starred Will Wheaton, and it was a Big Bang Theory joke. And it was like, it was a reference to The Secret of NIMH. I'm like, oh yeah, I've heard of that. And didn't Don Bluth have something to do with this?
This was his breakaway film. So he broke away from Walt Disney Studios after The Fox and the Hound, and he broke away. This was his film, and that Fox and the Hound came out in 1981. This came out in 1982, and then he had a string of hits with The Land Before Time and American Tale, and to a lesser extent, All Dogs Go to Heaven. Those were sort of a really good run for him, and then things started to go downhill. But he put up a pretty good fight against Disney for the 80s.
This was around the time when Disney was in real trouble creatively, right?
Yeah, because the Black Cauldron would come out in, I think, 85. And then you have the Great Mouse Detective, which I think was a modest hit. Oliver and Company, which was a disappointment. And then finally in 89, you have The Little Mermaid, which basically saved the studio. Jodie Benson said when at FanX, she said that they were literally boxing up stuff while they were making the recordings for The Little Mermaid. Like the studio was on the way out. This was the Hail Mary. And thank goodness it succeeded.
that almost seems crazy to think about Disney boxing up anything and preparing to move out. I mean, they're worth billions nowadays.
But that's the crazy thing, because it wasn't that long ago in the grand scheme of things that they had another near disaster. I mean, when you had Home on the Range and the Winnie the Pooh movie and Atlantis, and I mean, some of these movies had praise in, you know, they have their fans, but it was a rough stretch in that era, that post-Renaissance era, for them financially and also, well, critically.
Well, I mean, they're not having those problems nowadays,
they're not.
Money's like the last thing that they're worried about.
Although it can always happen again. I do think that Bob Iger was the kind of person who was always knew that could happen again. That's what really smart rich people do, is they act like they're not rich, and that's how they become more rich.
Yeah, in the words, to paraphrase a quote from Jordan Peterson, as bad as things can get, there's always someone who could come along and make things even worse.
Yeah.
That's just...
Anyway, The Secret of NIMH is a wonderful film, one of my favorites of all time. I highly recommend watching it. Check it out.
Very good.
So there we go.
That's it.
Yeah, we did it. So let us know what you think about these films that we picked, what you think about Canopy, what you've been watching on there. We would love to hear your thoughts. And Ryan, where can people find you?
People can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Letterboxd at RyanCam20. Then there's, of course, my YouTube channel, which is just called RyanCam. On the channel now, I've got my Twilight Zone video up for this week, talking about the episode called The Whole Truth. One in the videotape era, where everything in the show just looked really bad because CBS decided to be penny wise and pound foolish. But I'll talk more about that as it comes along. Life in the Movies podcast episode will be dropping on Wednesday, or it has dropped on Wednesday, and Jacob and I are going to be previewing all of the movies in the month of May. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then, of course, I'll be covering Doctor Strange when it comes out. And then this coming Sunday, let me check my board, it'll be my first reaction to Dazed and Confused. I have never seen it, and I'm going to be checking it out for the first time. And then Saturday will be my Movie Nerds Club video for top 5 movies based on TV shows. That's all coming up, or has been up already. So if you haven't checked me out, please do.
Yes, I'll have that as well for Movie Nerds Club. And you can find me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. And I'll put our playlist for all our Hidden Gems episodes in the description. Make sure you check that out. And also make sure you check out Muppet May for Family Movie Night. This whole month we're doing Muppet May. This is my 5th year doing it. It's a lot of fun. I really enjoy it. So please take a look at we get to do some sort of more obscure ones this year, because 5 years, you're going to do that. And so take a look at that. I would really appreciate it. Also, the Hallmarkies podcast, lots of fun stuff going on. On Wednesday at Hallmarkies podcast, we're going to be doing underrated rom-coms with Jennifer Chandler, one of my good friends. So you'd really enjoy that. So take a look at all of that information will be in the description. Also, please like this video. Please subscribe to the channel. If you are listening on iTunes, please leave your ratings and reviews, 5 stars. It helps us out so much. And also, check out the Patreon group and merch store. We really appreciate it. And we'll talk to y'all later. Bye, everyone.
Bye.